Our nation enters this conflict reluctantly, yet our purpose is sure. Those were the words of G.W. Bush in March of 2003 when coalition forces entered Iraq. The leader of the free world with a straight face was telling the American people and the rest of the planet that this is not a matter of a single week or even a year, ladies and gentlemen, urging the millions of families to pray for their loved ones that are in a Humvee somewhere on the Baghdad highway. He failed to bring up, of course, a valid point that those on the other end of the road are also praying for their loved ones to come back home safely. Unfortunately, it was not meant to happen for a large number of Iraqis as well as Americans. The social trauma that resulted has been since damaging our collective psyche and poisoning it bit by bit. And last week, one of the main proponents of this chaos, Condoleezza Rice, has come out with a statement that the U.S.-led intervention in Middle East and Central Asia were not about spreading democracy first and foremost, but about addressing regional security issues. I'm Nick Blake, and I have so many questions.
Scandinavia, no hotel in Sweden. I've been to it in the last year. No, it's all non-smoking. No, 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 because it's a secondary smoke, isn't it? It's a secondary smoke. Yeah, it's what we should be worried about. It's very... You know, because, you know, scientists, experts and researchers have done, you know, research and discovered that the secondary smoke, it's a very big issue for me. I think about the future of the human race and what's happening in the world today. Secondary smoke's a real issue for me. Secondary smoke. I'm not particularly worried about the fact that recently the two most powerful nations illegally invaded a Middle East country under false pretenses so that it could steal their natural resources and implement permanent military bases to start more theatres of conflict so that it could implement a third world war to create a planetary fascist police state. It's secondary smoke. It's a real problem for me. You know.
That was Steve Hughes explaining what the focus of modern world is in terms of our daily lives. The motivations of our institutions are to tame the free spirit every one of us is in possession of from the very point and moment we begin existing, to dumb down a progressively docile mass of people and shift their attention from real-life situations as opposed to the fake world that the glitzy reality created by marketing departments and secretive focus groups is portraying to us on a daily basis, such as killing a million people that posed zero security threat to anyone, for example. But the charade went on as we all stood watching. And now Condi comes out and says that security was the primary reason for going into Iraq, whilst bringing democracy and liberating Iraqis from the sadistic regime of Saddam Hussein that the CIA planted in the first place was, well, secondary. But there were no weapons of mass destruction, there were no bombs, no chemical weapons, no nothing. The quote-unquote evidence was fabricated. It was essentially as fabricated as Benjamin Netanyahu's drawing at the UN of a bomb depicting how close Iran is to developing nuclear weapons. To get a broader perspective on the mainstream version of what Condi was actually talking about, we turn to professor of political science at Norwegian University of Science and Technology, Georg Jacobsen.
Democracy had some secondary issue here, but first and foremost, what the United States is interested in, or was interested in both Iraq and Afghanistan, was security. Saddam Hussein had chosen a path of not exposing whether or not he had weapons of mass destructions. He probably didn't have them, but there was an element of uncertainty. So that, I think, was Condoleezza Rice's point, that he probably didn't have them, but they couldn't be sure. And in the wake of 9/11 and everything, the willingness to fight had increased in the U.S., and they were not willing to take that risk. They wanted to get rid of the weapons, if there were any weapons, and as a bonus, they could get rid of Saddam Hussein. Yeah, that being stated, democracy has a secondary role here. It's important to justify, for example, invasions or similar actions. And also the introduction of democracy goes hand in hand with creating Iraq to become a more U.S.-friendly nation that can be traded with. And the U.S. government also firmly believed in introducing democracy, but I would say it's a secondary aspect. Security was first and foremost the most important for the U.S. government. The United States, they would like to transform other countries. It's, democracy is one part of it, but it also goes hand in hand with liberal capitalism. And to like the United States are the leading nation of the world. They have, or the world has, a trading regime that works in the general interests of the big actors, the Western European states. And it would be a good thing to have more and more countries included in this trading order. And by introducing democracy, you don't only introduce democracy, you introduce economic rules that need to be followed. There is also a security aspect. They want countries to fall into the order of, into both the economic order and the security order led by the United States. And in that aspect, it is important to democratize without necessarily taking into account local context or whether it will succeed or not. And this can, of course, and has led to negative consequences, like we see the rise of terrorism.
That was Georg Jakobsen essentially giving you a veiled New World Order speech that those of you who have been listening attentively enough had heard a number of times prior by powerful stakeholders, think tanks, and prominent leaders. Technically, giving credence to the establishment of a globalist system under one committee of rulers, one religion, one financial structure, etc., 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 with current IT advances that we, the public, know about, the situation is already scary. However, once you realize what we are not being told about, everything becomes that much scarier. And it all goes back to weapons. Because, well, if you don't have guns and ammo, death and destruction is kind of difficult to achieve. Here's Bill Hicks with more.
Selling weapons since 86 to Iraq. And I wondered about that during the Persian Gulf War, those intelligence reports before it all started. Oh, Iraq, they have incredible weapons. Incredible weapons. How do you know that? Well, we looked at the receipt. But as soon as that check clears, we're going in. What time's the bank open? 8? We're going in at 9. For God and country and... here's a flag. Whatever symbol y'all need. Let's go! Come on, we're killing Sanders. Let's go! He's a Hitler. He's a Hitler. Saddam Hussein is a Hitler. What does that make you, Goebbels? Quit arming him. He's a Hitler. He was your friend last week. He's a Hitler now. Trying to motivate people. You know, it's unbelievable how they got him. People were just like, he's a Hitler. Yeah, Bush, get it real, man. You like dogs, don't you?
Yeah, we love dogs.
Well, we have an intelligence report that says here Saddam Hussein likes to f*** dogs in the ass and then take their spine out and use it as a toothpick.
You're shitting me. Let's go kill this guy. I had no idea he was that much of a maniac.
This is for Rover.
That's what intelligence reports say. He's a Hitler. He f*** dogs. No, you sure that's true? You like kittens?
That was the genius of Bill Hicks explaining how modern wars and wars of the past have been fought. Arm all parties to the conflict, make sure it goes on for as long as possible, and once everything is squeezed out and regular people are clamoring for the slightest ray of light, only then can the visible destruction stop and subversive destruction begin. Here's George Carlin and his take on how that actually happens.
You probably noticed I don't feel about that war the way we were told we were supposed to feel about that war, the way we were ordered and instructed by the United States government to feel about that war. You see, I tell you, my mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I don't just roll over when I'm told to. Sad to say, most Americans just roll over on command. Not me. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. Nothing. Zero. Nope. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country, who in the case of the Persian Gulf War were nothing more than unpaid employees of the Department of Defense, and who most of the time function as kind of an unofficial public relations agency for the United States government. So I don't listen to them, I don't really believe in my country, and I gotta tell you folks, I don't get all choked up about yellow ribbons and American flags. I consider them to be symbols, and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded.
That was George Carlin illuminating us about the kind of media support we get on top of the bread and circuses we, the regular folk, get for our submission to their red tape. Keep an eye out, ladies and gentlemen, and educate yourself. First and foremost, educate yourself. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.